where we're at in Philippians tonight, kind of what I want to talk about is the difference between going somewhere and being sent. Because there's a difference. I'll give you this example. When I just go to Walmart, anybody just go to Walmart? I mean, you might need one or two things, but you're just going, right? And when you just go, you always spend more money than if you were sent, right? And I don't know what your weakness is. You know, for me,
somebody said food. Really? Leave.
just leave. My weakness is at the checkout. When they have all the as seen on TV stuff. It's so fascinating. All that stuff. One, because I'd already thought of that stuff years ago, right? But it never fails. You can tell when I get home, right? And, and I went to get one thing and I come home from Walmart with 10 bags. And there's everything in the world. You know, I found these fingernail clippers that glow in the dark. And I thought, oh my gosh. Because I'm always looking for the fingernail clippers in the dark, right? And if you had, so I got two pair of those. They had reading glasses that had little lights on them, right? I mean, unbelievable. It was incredible, and I don't wear glasses, but I mean, you got to have a pair of those, right? And so I put them on, turned the lights on, and of course I couldn't see anything. I don't know what strength the lens were. But, that's my weakness. But when I'm sent to Walmart, any of you guys here ever get sent to Walmart? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Yeah, I get sent to Walmart, and that's a different trip. One, because I don't want to go, right? She never sends me when I want to go. It's always when I don't want to go. And I won't, in this form, tell you some of the things she sends me to get. It's unbelievable. If you're single, just wait. But when I'm sent, I mean, I just get in there. I get what I'm supposed to get. I check out and I get home, right? Because there's a difference when you're just going somewhere and when you're sent. There's a difference. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse, it looks like a 19 to me. I need those glasses with the little lights. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. So in this passage, it's not just about brotherhood, right? I mean, he makes mention of Timothy. He makes mention of Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus was there in Philippi, and they sent him because they weren't able to help themselves, but they sent Epaphroditus to Paul. And he talks about these guys and what they have meant to him, their partnership in the gospel. And what we see in Timothy and Epaphroditus is that they were sent. Epaphroditus was sent to Paul to care for him, to look after him, to minister alongside of him. And Timothy's going to be sent by Paul to go to Philippi and to minister to them. And so my question tonight is this: how many of us are just going somewhere as opposed to being sent? Because if you're a Christian, then your life has unbelievable purpose. And in every place along the way is not a place that you happened upon, but it's a place that you've been sent. And I think that is especially powerful. Promise Keepers. Anybody remember Promise Keepers? Raise your hand. I just want to see how much explanation. Yeah, so it was kind of a men's movement. When was it, Keith? Was it the 90s? You weren't a Promise Keeper. That's before you got that wig, isn't it? Yeah, okay, I remember. I think it was like around the 90s, Promise Keepers, and they filled up all these huge stadiums. It was a men's event. And for me, one of the most powerful things about Promise Keepers are the three people that Promise Keepers said every man needs in his life. And it was so powerful. He said, and we're going to talk about that tonight. He, you know, Promise Keeper said that every man needs a Barnabas in his life. Anybody remember Barnabas's nickname? Anyone? I heard somebody mumble something, which is always what I do when a question's asked. So it sounds like maybe I knew, but I didn't. I just said, how am I? Hey. It got me through college in 5 years. Barnabas's nickname was the son of encouragement. And that's what Barnabas was. And you might even remember some of the stories of Barnabas in the Bible. Barnabas was teamed up, locked up right beside the Apostle Paul. But you remember in one of the missionary journeys, Paul and John Mark had a falling out. We don't know exactly what the deal was, but whatever happened, Paul told John Mark to hit the road. You're done. You are done here. You need to go on. And so powerful was this son of encouragement, Barnabas, that, you know, in some kind of way you look at it, and you don't know if Barnabas felt like Paul was in the wrong. We don't know this situation, but Barnabas leaves Paul and goes with John Mark, right? Let's rewind a little further than that. This guy named Saul, who's been killing Christians. The rumor is that he got saved, right? And who was one, not the first, but who was one of the first to come alongside of this guy? Barnabas, right? He was that kind of guy. Promise Keeper said every man needs a Barnabas in his life, another man who will encourage you, right? And men, look at me. All the men, look at me. Wives, tell them to look at me. I don't care who you are. We need that encouragement from a brother. We need it, right? You know, I can think of a couple guys that when I preach, you know, after the service is over, there's a couple guys that never fails. They'll come up and they'll say, Pastor Jamie, that was unbelievable. Right? That was incredible, right? And so a lot of services, guess who I'm looking for when it's over?
Them,
right? And I always happen to make my way to wherever they're standing, and I'll wait my turn. And then I'll just pat them, say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, dude, that was incredible. And I'm like, stop it, please. So somebody told me a couple weeks ago, said, I just want to tell you that I thought the sermon was really good. And I said, will you email me that? Because I like to keep all that on. Because I've got a file. Well, it's about like that. But, you know, that encouragement, it means something, doesn't it? To be encouraged. And you know, and Promise Keepers is right to say that every man needs that. But all of us as believers, we need that. That's what we see in Timothy and Epaphroditus, this encouragement that they bring. The other thing Promise Keeper said is that every man needs a Timothy in his life. And a Timothy is that, not necessarily chronologically younger, but maybe just where they're at spiritually and their maturity, you know, kind of like a spiritual little brother that you're pouring into. That you've got somebody like that in your life, that's really important. And let me tell you, I think that's probably the greatest challenge of the church because so many of us are just selfish. I mean, we think about what it took for, you know, for Timothy as he was there with Paul. You know, we don't get all the stories, but you know, if you've ever had somebody younger like that in your life, sometimes they can wear you out. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? And before you think too much about that, you've got to remember the people that you wore out, right? With your questions and with your mistakes and, you know, just messing up over and over again. But we all need a Timothy like that in our life. Every one of us, somebody that we are pouring into. Because I'm going to tell you something, more than an accountability group, more than anything, if we are pouring into somebody, there's incredible accountability that comes with that because it makes us think about the decisions and the choices that we make in our life if we're pouring into somebody. And so most people, most of us here tonight probably would say we have a Barnabas. There's somebody. There is somebody that encourages us. And I hope that a lot of us would say that, you know, that we do have a Timothy. There is somebody, and maybe we could do a better job pouring into them. You know, maybe we could be more faithful in that area, but there is somebody we think of that, you know, that, hey, we are kind of pouring into a little bit. But the third person that Promise Keeper said every man needs in his life is Paul, right? Is a Paul. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, you think of this guy. He's not charmed by you. He's not blown away by your talent, your ability, your wisdom. Paul will just simply tell you like it is and does not care what you think about it. And so what I've tried to do in my life is to have 100 Barnabases and one Paul. Hey, that's all I can stomach is one, right? And few people have a Paul in their life. Few people do. What we see in Philippians is we see, you know, the fruit of when those things are present. Epaphroditus, who's willing to leave home and to go care for Paul and stay with him, obviously, for a significant period of time, leaving home, family, that life to go and to minister, right? We see Timothy and the things that he does. You know, let's look at the disciples and you know, I'll say the sacrifices they made, the lives that they left to follow Jesus, right? But it's so important, you know, to have that Paul in your life. I don't know about you, but when when I was in college, I'm trying to think how to say this, it's because it's so awful. And Tommy Johnson is here, so I can't lie. Tommy was my campus minister in college. He's now campus minister at Western Kentucky University, and he's sitting there, so I can't embellish the story or nothing. But I'm gonna tell him about Curtis Barnes. Curtis was one of my dear friends. And I guess part of my problem, I won't say my problem because Tommy knows there was more than one. But part of my problem is I had an overabundance of confidence. You ever meet anybody that has too much confidence? Like more confidence than they should have? Like in themselves, right? And so I was... You know, so there was a season where that was kind of me. I had an opinion about everything. And if I didn't have one, I'd make one up, right? And it wasn't because I was passionate or felt so strongly about something. It's because I was so enamored with myself. You ever meet anybody that loves to hear themselves talk?
Amen.
Yeah, and so apparently, I didn't know this. But apparently, my closest friends felt that way about me. Wow. Yeah, they're not my friends anymore. Because I told them how wrong that was biblically, because I know the Bible better than... Well, you know what I'm saying. You see what my problem is, right? For them, it was no loss. And I remember one time, Curtis... and I were talking, and he was just kind of sharing some things that were on his heart. And all he really wanted to do is he said, man, just pray about these things for me. That's all he wanted. How do I know that? because he was real specific. Hey, pray about this. Well, I felt like praying would be a waste of time when I knew what he needed to do. It was so obvious to me. And I said, Curtis, listen to me. This is what you need to do. And man, I just start going on and on. And I wish it was recorded, because I said some of the most brilliant stuff, you know, right there, I think. Let me just tell you, there were two of us standing there, and I know one of us was really impressed by what I had to say. And it wasn't Curtis. And I'll never forget Curtis just looking at me, just kind of shaking his head. And at first I thought it was awe. And I've mistaken a lot of those things just for awe. But then it had more of a look of disgust. And Curtis said, yeah, I knew I probably didn't need to say anything to you because I knew you'd have the answer. And I thought, finally, somebody recognizes that. And he just said, you know, you just know everything. And it was just really difficult conversation. Well, stop. It wasn't a conversation. I wasn't talking. I was offended, right? And I was just like, and I just couldn't believe it, you know? And probably one of the mistakes Curtis made in all that was to tell me everybody else that felt that way. It was probably out of bounds. And yet probably the Lord put it in his mouth because the first smack wasn't hard enough. And it was really hard. And my default mode was, well, you're the one asking for prayer. You're the one with all the problems. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. But how powerful that was in my life, and how God used that, right? And that he was willing to say it. That's hard. I mean, who wants a Paul in your life? And who wants to be one? Because it's really hard. And to say those difficult things, or to hear those difficult things. You know, Tommy Johnson was a Paul in my life, right? That he, you know, he saw me. I can't believe he even comes to church here and listens after everything that he saw. But he spoke powerful things into my life. And I never assumed that it was easy. You know, and what it took me years to learn is that it does come from a place of love. Amen. Right? And when they talk about being a Paul, what they mean is, you know, Paul was willing to say the really difficult thing because Paul had one thing in mind. He wanted these men to be all that Jesus wanted them to be. And that's why he would speak those things. And that's why some would feel like he was just sharp or a little rough around the edges, because he would say those things. And all of us, not just the men, all of us need somebody like that, you know, in their life. You know, me and my wife have talked about that. You know, I think every married person, I think every man needs at least maybe only one man that he can kind of vent to about his marriage. Look, there's looks of shock, right? And I'm being real specific. He doesn't need a woman that he vents to about his marriage, right? Because that never leads to a good place. But he does need a man, right? And I think every woman needs a woman. And me and my wife were talking about that. She's like, well, you know, sometimes I just need to vent. And I said, well, I want to pick who you vent to. Because I want her to vent to somebody who says, you know what? You're wrong. And I'm serious about that, in the same way that that's the man that I need in my life who can say, oh, really? Well, dude, I can't go there with you. You're wrong. Amen. Because if I don't have that person in my life, I'm going to be wrong most of the time and think that I'm right. For me, this passage tonight is really about the fruit of what that looks like. The fruit of what happens when somebody's willing to be poured into, when somebody's willing to encourage, when somebody's willing to pour into somebody else, this is the result. Because let me tell you, this is the body of Christ. And the Bible says that it's one body, but it's made up of many parts, right? And when we're living lives, not just on the go, but as if we have been sent, then we see those things develop in our lives. And I would ask you, who is your Barnabas and who are you a Barnabas to? Who is your Timothy and who are you a Timothy to? And who is your Paul and who are you a Paul to? Because these things matter, and they matter because the truth is that Jesus does have a plan for each of our lives, right? The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that awesome? I thought there'd be like at least a look of excitement, you know, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us, that he desires relationship with us, and he doesn't just create us and leave us, but he has a plan for our lives. And you know what that plan is? Because people ask all the time, I just want to know God's plan for my life. I'm going to tell you, every one of you, what it is tonight. God's plan for your life is that you would be holy. That's what he wants. He is far less concerned about where you go than who you are. And that work that he does in our hearts so that we will look like him. And part of the molding and the shaping that God does in us is he sends Barnabas. I just thought of that. Like multiple Barnabases. Barnabas. No. But he sends those encouragers, right? And have you ever felt like God wanted you to be an encouragement, but you just couldn't? You just wouldn't? For whatever reason, you were having a bad day, things weren't going your way. I mean, you're mad at God. I mean, whatever, that you knew God just wanted you to be an encouragement and you just couldn't. Listen, God uses those people in our lives. It's part of the way that he molds us and he shapes us. And if you and I were willing to pour ourselves into somebody else, right? And let me be specific, for men, it's a man. For women, it's a woman, right? That's how it should be. And if we were just willing to pour ourselves into somebody and how God would use it. And let me tell you, when you're pouring yourself into somebody, I doubt that it's more of a teaching moment for them than it is for us. As God just continues to reveal himself. And what I would say tonight is there should be somebody like that. It's not a question of, you know, you may or may not do it. Every one of us should be pouring ourselves into somebody. And if we're not, you know what I'm going to say? It's because of disobedience. It's because we are far more excited about our own interests than the interest of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Steve says this all the time, and I so agree with it, you know, because, you know, also in the 90s, around the Promise Keeper time, what was real huge were that men needed accountability groups. We need to get together, and we need to tell each other all the dirt in our lives, and you know, it was kind of thought that that would take care of all the sin in a man's life. But think about this. If he is willing to lie and deceive the woman with whom he exchanged vows with, it's not that big of a deal to lie to a group of guys. Is it? No. But let me tell you, you great accountability is if you're pouring yourself into somebody else. Because it never fails. You know, when there's folks that come along like that in my life and they just start sharing some of their struggles, and inevitably, guess what happens? They name a struggle that I'm struggling with. But it was so much more powerful when they shared it was a struggle. Because when they shared that they were struggling with this certain area, I mean, immediately I was like, yeah, that's awful. In my mind, right? Because it didn't sound so awful when I was struggling with it. And it's this great accountability, right? To, you know, as you're pouring into somebody, to say, man, you know, watch yourself there. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea, the whole book opens up by saying, when God spoke through Hosea, he spoke to Hosea. And I love that because I can't tell you how many times I've shared, you know, wisdom or whatever, you know, with somebody. And I'm sure that God spoke through me, but what I didn't plan on was God speaking to me. Because if you're pouring yourself into somebody, everybody listen to this. This is really cool. When you're pouring yourself into somebody, you will say things that you never would have said. You speak things that you never would have spoken if you're pouring into somebody. And so let me be clear. The challenge I'm giving is not to pour yourself into somebody for somebody, but to pour yourself into somebody for all that God wants to do in you and through you. And to be a Paul. And that's hard. That one is unique. And I'll tell you why. Because the only Pauls in my life, I've appointed them to be Pauls. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, if any of you decide tonight, I'm going to be a Paul to Pastor Jamie. But jump off a bridge, right? I don't care what you have to say. Because that's somebody that we just, you know, we appoint. And don't think you're being a Paul if you just walk around cranky all the time telling everybody what they need to do. That's not Paul. Amen. Okay? Because what do we see in the relationship between Paul and Timothy? The time, the care, the love, right? That Paul was there. You know, and what I'd say about that relationship is if Timothy needed anything, Paul would be one of the first ones there, right? But Paul would say the really difficult things. And I promise you, there's nobody in this room that is above that. That all of us need somebody who loves us enough to be willing to say the difficult things. And I'm going to tell you this. And I've thought about this today to think about whether or not I could really say this. So I'm going to say it. And if you don't like it, just email me. Reynolds@hillview.com. But as I thought today about the times in my life when there was a Paul saying a difficult thing to me, I could not recollect a time that somebody said something to me that I was unaware of. I might have been unaware that they thought it, but I was not unaware that it was in my life, that it was a struggle. You know, I've told you before, you always have to be careful, especially when you're at church, of those people who will come up to you and they'll look at you and say, I got a word from God for you. You ever have somebody do that to you? I got a word from God for you. But you know what's really cool about that? There's the easiest way in the world to really know if it's a word from God. And I'm going to tell you how. You know it's a word from God if what they say is not a revelation, but a confirmation of what God's already told you, right? Because of the precious Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is always the first one to point to the things that are wrong in my life. It's the Holy Spirit first all the time. No person has ever come and opened my eyes to something that I was unaware of. But when it's truly a word from God, all it is a confirmation of what God's already said to me. And it's powerful if you know that, if you realize that. And let me tell you, I'm not saying you're going to recognize it immediately, because when people come up to me, and I'll be honest, it still freaks me out a little bit when somebody says, Pastor Jamie, and I don't know why I'm talking like that. It's hilarious, though. That's what they sound like, isn't it? Pastor Jamie, I got a word for you from the Lord. And what I do now, you know, they tell me, and sometimes I'm thinking, cuckoo. You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. If I'm just being honest, and I'm sorry because it was you last week. But what I try to do is when somebody says something, no matter how crazy it might seem to me in that moment, I never want to dismiss it. And so what I've tried to do is just say, even if I'm in complete disagreement, I try to say, well, you know what? Thank you. And I'm going to pray about that. Because you know why? There have been many lousy messengers. And a prayer that I had to learn to pray was this: Lord, help me not miss your message because of your messenger. And so I don't want to dismiss it. I want to pray about it. I want to know, God, what are you saying to me? Lord, how are you trying to mold me and shape me? God, what things are you trying to get out of my life? Because I don't want to miss it. And I have to be careful, because what I am most inclined to do is to miss it or dismiss it. And not to want to hear it. But this incredible ministry by Timothy and Epaphroditus was the result of people encouraging them. It was the result of people pouring into them. It was the result of their ministry in serving others. And I'm going to tell you, as we look through the Bible, you can almost identify those people in everyone's life. And how God used people. And so tonight, it's the difference between just going somewhere and being sent. And God has sent us, hasn't he? I mean, that's exactly what he has done in each of our lives. The Bible says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, the Bible says, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's what we are. We are his workers. And he sends us out. And maybe sometimes we only see that in a kind of missionary setting where we leave the country. And certainly that's part of it. But I promise you this, he doesn't just send us to the foreign mission fields. He sends us to work. And he sends us home. And he sends us to family, and he sends us to friends, and he sends us to Walmart. And all the places we go, we should live as if we have been sent. Because it makes all the difference. I'm going to close with this. Keith, you guys can come. And again, I just want to be confessional with you, because you know what I find most of the time are some of the struggles and thoughts I have about things that are wrong. They're usually shared, right? That we've all kind of been there. And I remember, it's been some time ago, you know, I was on a Walmart trip, and man, I was just trying to hurry up and get in there and get out, and somebody stopped me. And they said the words that scare me the most when I'm at Walmart. They said, Pastor Jamie. And all I can think of, this is not going to be a quick trip. You know, and at first I try to go, right? Pastor Jamie, oh. And they just, you know,
just start sharing about some things going on in their life. And I can't tell you, you know, how many times I'd look at my phone and gosh, I mean, when I think back, I just think of how rude I was. Because the only concern I had was I just wanted to get home. I mean, it wasn't like I had an appointment, you know. And man, but the Holy Spirit just kept drilling me. Listen. Listen. And I don't, at this point, I don't remember the specific things that were going on in their life. But I do remember this. Man, I didn't know what to tell them. It was so much. But what the Spirit kept saying to me was, listen. Listen. And then I kind of revert to college mode, where now I'm starting to feel the pressure to have some powerfully divine answer that will set their world back in order right there in the dairy section. But in order to come up with that answer, guess what I have to stop doing? I have to stop listening so that I can think about what I'm going to say. And the Spirit kept saying, listen, listen. I remember for me personally, when the conversation was finally over, I just felt a huge sense of disappointment because I didn't have an answer. Didn't know what to say. You know, I had compassion for the person, but you know, what I want to do with compassion is just make everything okay. And I couldn't. And a couple weeks go by, and I get an email from this person. And they told me there was one thing they desperately needed that day. And guess what it was? They just needed someone to listen. The Spirit never, never leads us astray. And so the powerfully profound thing I wanted to provide, the Spirit provided. As the Spirit just said, listen. Listen. Father, we come to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be sons and daughters who would listen. That we would listen to you. That we'd listen to your words, and that listening would become obedience, and that obedience would lead us to be faithful, and that faithfulness would lead to fruit in somebody else's life. Oh, Jesus, that we would be so much more concerned with your interest than our own. Oh, Father, that we would be encouragers, and that we would be willing to be encouraged. That we would pour into people and that we'd be willing to be poured into. Oh, Father, that we'd be willing to say the difficult things as well as to hear the difficult things. Jesus, may we not miss your message because of your messenger. Be glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. No doubt in one of those areas, oh, we just need Jesus to help us. And so this altar is open tonight. I'm going to invite you to come and say, Jesus, I need a Barnabas. I need to be a Barnabas. I need a Timothy. I need to be a Timothy. I need a Paul. I need to be a Paul. But more than anything, that we would listen. You come.